Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ahoy, crew members! Today's show is a service of our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this show. Thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, always a controversy on the Mike O'Mara Show. Always a controversy. Not really. Today we're expecting a guest. Judah Friedlander will be in studio. We normally tape our show 10 o'clock Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. The fabulous Mike O'Mara Show is prepared and uploaded for your entertainment about 12:30 every single day. However, today, due to a modification with the schedule so that we could accommodate Mr. Judah Friedlander, that we were told by Rob Spiewak to come in at 10:30 because of Judah Friedlander, and then Oscar and I both simultaneously believed that he was going to be here at 10:30, and then you said 11.
Right.
And then I went back to your text message, which said yesterday, be prepared for Judah Friedlander in studio at 10:30. Well, you didn't say you. Well, let me read it exactly.
Because all right.
Reminder: 10:30 start tomorrow because of Judah Friedlander in studio, not because of Judah Friedlander at 11 o'clock in the morning. And I'm just kind of curious where the communication breakdown. It's been a lot of that lately. Maybe it's the fact that it's October,
and
November.
Before we get there, you should also know that I bust in at 10:20, and I walk in. The guys are just like hanging out, like really doing what they should be doing before the show, just like prepping for the program.
Right,
but I felt like a sense of urgency on a level where I said, what are you guys doing? We have a guest coming. Get out of that seat.
Yeah.
Prepare for him to walk in and sit down.
Yeah,
and
don't laze around. We've got company coming, as you put it.
And I bark at poor Rob Ford like a dog, and I said, get me a latte grande and a bagel stat. And he looks at me like a little kid, like he's in trouble. But I don't have time for pleasantries because we have a guest coming in at 10:30.
And speaking of that, turn his mic up a little bit.
You bet.
Oscar's mic just
a guest coming in at 10. There's company coming in a game time.
Right on.
But I don't know where I missed it too. I missed the fact that, and this is, I mean, with you, Oscar, it's been going on all over the place.
Clearly.
But with me, I mean, it's just, I mean, lately. So, Rob, you claim that you said he was coming in at 11.
And at the front, at the top of the prep, it says Judah Friedlander, 11 o'clock.
No, but let's rewind here. Let's
the prep that I emailed you.
His one sheet?
Yeah.
All right, well, I didn't print his one sheet because his one sheet wasn't all that. I mean, I know the guy. I know his work, so I didn't.
Well, you don't need it. Some of us in the room may need it.
Well, I mean, sometimes you need it to promote what they're doing.
Regardless. The point is this. So I'm sitting here, and I'm fuming because everybody's like, la, 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 like, no big deal.
You know, the weird thing about it is that it really wasn't that out of the character of Oscar.
Just a Monday. No big deal. Hope it's a good one. Yeah, so I am fuming, and Rob, out of the corner of his mouth, says, I think he's local. He's coming by himself. And I'm like, you think he's local? How about you find out where he's from? Where he's from, you don't know where he's from. You think he's local? Find out. And I'm going crazy.
Really, the bottom line here is this. Oscar hates that he got here a half hour early.
He does. That's somewhat valid.
That is somewhat valid. But that doesn't change the fact that you looked at me and you said, I told Mike on Friday, I'm in school on Friday.
Right.
How about you write an email and say, hey, guys, we have him at 11. A little communication would be nice.
I don't tell you, the
paycheck's not coming this week. I'm sorry I wasn't here Friday.
The thing about it, I'm just going by the text. That's what the last text I get is really the one but there it is. There it is on the prep sheet, Mike O'Mara Show that Rob sent to me Friday or Saturday?
I think yesterday. I sent it to you yesterday.
Yesterday, Judah Friedlander, 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
If I had been aware of that, right, I would have said, because I mean, I don't know whether he's staying a long time, whether he's not. And, you know, the bottom line is the 10:30 start means we're ready. What, did you think that we just sit and cool our heels until he got here? Wouldn't make nice?
Well, a lot of times we do kill a few minutes before a show. I thought
we have time.
And
nothing but time.
Don't shake
take
your
your
head.
Time, Oscar.
Don't shake
you
your head your and
oh,
deal.
No, I don't want to step on his shtick. God okay. forbid he's doing his voice.
This isn't shtick. This is the truth.
Oh, when you do your voice, it's shtick. It's please. Great.
Junior Freeland,
it's me, 11 a gingerbread man.
Very, by the way, very funny comedian.
Wonderful
and,
comedian.
Great.
He's going to be at the DC Improv Tuesday for a special book tour event at 8 p.m. The book is called If the Raindrops United, and I want to ask him all about the book, although I didn't get a copy of the book, so I don't know what the book's about. So I'm going to ask him about the book, and I'll be embarrassed because I didn't get a
copy
of the
book. Well, find out, Mike. So. We're a well-oiled machine. Let me also ask you this.
Yes.
When Rob told me that he told you that Rob wanted the option to either start the show early and have him walk in, did you know that was going on? Do you remember that?
No. The only thing I was aware of was that we were starting at 10:30 for Judah Friedlander. I do not in any way dispute the fact that sometime earlier, Rob said to me that it was an 11 o'clock start. But I cannot, I cannot, and will never, ever, to my dying day. Remember that guy. You know how to communicate with me.
I know.
You want to communicate with me, you fire me a text and let me know that we're and so yeah, I don't understand. So I get back to not understanding.
Well, what
why
we did is on Friday, and this is on
10:30.
This is on me. This is 100%
on
me. That on Friday, yeah, I'm cooling a couple of heels in here. On Friday, I said to you, we're gonna start at 10:30, or we have the option of a 10:30 start, unless you want to put Judah in the first segment, but he'll be here at 11.
Why do you speak in riddles?
Because it drives you nuts. And what he calls riddles is really just proper English.
Would you tell Oscar just a brief history of your producer hat?
No. And don't make me do this.
He's not producing.
Don't play
we have an outside booker that gives him guests, and he still messes it up.
This is true. But he didn't technically, you know, outside of not letting you know this, he didn't
I will
I
say this.
Completely
I
completely throw him under the bus. But I also will tell you,
I based
my thing on coming in and seeing the 10:30 start time, and incidentally, I think, and the reason I start the show before Mr. Friedlander gets here is because in my mind, just so you know how I work,
right?
When you give me a start time, that is literally like me. I know. Look, I'm not out there throwing passes or catching passes or making tackles, but I go my
it's pregame. Game time, baby.
My pregame says 10:30. You are ready to go and
right.
start talking and doing the show. And that's why I thought we'd have this lovely discussion. We'd have this lovely discussion before the show.
Rob's still stretching out.
Let me tell you this. I hold a world record. And that's, you know, I'm very proud of this. I produced the Don and Mike show.
Here we go.
More times than anybody. I believe it was four times.
Was it four? Was
I think it,
four?
It was. I think yeah. it was because you know what?
I wasn't the boss then either, so I did. Oh, well, no, wait a minute. I was the boss for my show.
Right, but I never produced that.
You never produced my
show. You saw to that.
Yeah, I that's what? One thing. I had Beth Ann McBride before I even started doing the
Oh, before it was an
show.
And you want to talk about someone who talks in riddles.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God, that was incredible.
Oh, the whole thing was like trying
stress inducing.
It was like trying to defeat a troll to cross a bridge.
But you have to admit, she had a superior work ethic to anybody in the room.
Yeah, but
is that right?
An inferior comedic effort.
Oh, she did not know comedy. You
at
know
all.
Comedy, and you have a crappy work ethic. So I mean, it was just it was kind of a push. But I mean, with Beth Ann, but with the Donna Mike show, it was four times that we had you produce and then fired you.
I do believe so.
We didn't fire you from the show. We
no,
fired
no, no.
you from producing.
What happened is I would make lateral moves.
You go over here.
That's right.
You go over here.
It was the means. It was the means to an end. I wanted to be a part of the show.
Why did you hate it so much? Because obviously you hate it. Rob Spiewak excels at what he enjoys. He does not excel at what he doesn't enjoy. So the fact that you did not excel at producing meant you didn't care for the
no,
job.
No, I
you
think what like I, the problem with producing, and let's look at guest booking as one facet of it.
Right.
And the thing about it is, and I'm not saying this about today. I'm just talking about the whole deal.
Yes.
Is you are predicating your day by depending on something that you can't control.
Oh, I think you can control to a certain extent.
To a certain extent, sure. Yeah. You can control anything to a certain extent. You can drive
Oscar,
your car.
By the way, when I describe this show as three guys busting in his, each other's balls, Oscar is in like prime ball busting.
He hadn't noticed.
He has the meat in his teeth and he's not letting go of
you. Okay, to your statement, yes. You can control when you drive your car, right? Let me finish, please. You can drive down the road and you cannot hit a tree, or you cannot go up on the curb, or you cannot hit
accidents
a pedestrian.
Yeah, okay.
But accidents happen.
They do happen.
And
yes.
You know why? Yes. Because of the things you don't control. Other drivers, things falling from the sky.
But if you never get in your car, nothing happens.
But I don't understand your point. I was in the car four times.
You're in the wrong car.
Well, no, I was told to get in the car.
And you're kind of talking about guest booking, right?
Well, that's like, one aspect of it. But also, when you schedule an event, say it was a contest that we had to have people in studio, right?
Right.
And we would screen them and book them. And is there anything less reliable than a radio contestant?
But the thing about it is, and this is what it was. It was the follow-ups that didn't always happen at the early incarnations of your producing career.
How do you mean?
You were not, because after a while you had to be told to follow up with people. It was not something you did right away. You would say, I called them last Wednesday, and then there would be a no-show on Monday's show. And then by the time you're on your fourth go round, you call people 10 times and they could still screw you.
Yeah, and that would happen,
right?
So if we even go there,
but you didn't do it at the beginning.
No. And you know what?
You
first
said,
of all,
bomb on an airplane.
Yeah, bomb to bomb bomb, bomb to bomb 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 bomb.
And hopefully they'll come in.
And I will put this a little bit on CBS. Not their best hire at the first time, but by the fourth time maybe it was okay.
Yeah.
But you really are depending on something that you can't control. I know that when I come in and I sit down, I'm going to have my audio. I've got what things that I can talk about.
And what
this
you
is
love,
the stuff
though,
I can control.
I'm going to give you a counterpoint here.
Okay,
what you
very good.
What you loved is what we all love. When those microphones.
Oh, this is the fun
100%.
Part.
Yeah.
This is the fun part. And by the way, this is the part that, as far as I'm concerned, that I can do with knitting needles in my testicles. I can come in here and do this under any circumstances when the microphone is open. It's the it's the other stuff when the mics are off, and that's when you just, you know, you,
that's where you don't excel.
No, that's where I suck. Say it, Oscar, you're dying to. That's where I suck. And so, you know what? I think what the takeaway from this is, Mike O'Mara is a man of faith. Because after 21 years,
I went to church yesterday.
After 22 years,
yes.
You still have me with you.
Well, no, I mean, because in studio, when you are, and as a human being, there are two things why you are still with me after all these years.
The photographs.
Okay? The photographs you have. No, you are, you know what, I don't base, it's the whole package, so I can't say there's any one thing. But you are very funny when the show goes on. We have a matched sense of humor that drives Oscar nuts sometimes, but we both enjoy Oscar's stories and when
yes.
he tells his stories. So we like Oscar, so that's why the three of us work together. The other thing is that you are a very kind and decent person.
Yeah.
And then I think I'll throw one third thing in here is that, what's the third thing? I might have forgotten it.
Dancer?
No. What's
he's strong?
The third oh, on the road. When we used to do a lot of on the road.
Yes.
My God, you're an asset on the road. If we have a business lunch, if we have
oh,
to
yeah.
be
ten,
somewhere, Rob Spiewak is never off.
Effing
he is
ten.
Never off.
Yeah.
And I can like go through an airport going, what time's the flight? What gate are we at? And Rob's like doing, and Rob's doing shtick the whole time. And he knows, and he also knows when to shut that shtick down, which is great. That's fantastic.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's,
well, Mike, it's kind of obvious with you.
Right.
It's time to be quiet now.
I mean, it's okay to say we use outside guys.
It's
magical, though, that even when I'm not in control, I can still screw it up. It is a given.
Well, no.
It is a magical, God-given talent.
But from the bottom of my heart, it is why you sucked at producing.
Oh,
because you give me one.
Hold
on. I would
be the first one to tell
you
this.
But because you give me a one sheet here that was emailed that says, Judah Friedlander, parentheses, 11 o'clock. And then on your message, your text message, it's a completely different message that says we're going to start the show at 10:30. So that was where the confusion is.
I think
you still don't really get it, even though we've been screaming about it for half an hour.
This will shock you, Mike.
Yes.
I do get it. And I know it's crazy, also the lack of clarity is here. What I guess I was trying to communicate is you have always liked us to be in our places, ready to go when the show starts.
You're absolutely usually right, by 15 minutes. That's why when you said 10:30, I assumed 10:15.
And you see,
which would mean Oscar would be here at 10:25.
That's what I should have been clear about.
And I have given up trying to manage time because I know everybody said. To be honest with you, when I keyed in the connection and I heard Oscar was here, I'm like, whoa. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's really
how I reacted to it. No, I thought we were starting at 10:30.
So, and
you know what? We just did start at 10:30 too.
Yeah. And so, you know what?
In the future.
Another adventure win. It's great.
Details. Right. That's all we need.
All right.
Details.
Very good.
Guys, I was thinking we could start at 10:30 if we wanted to, but he's coming in at 11. Your call. Let us know.
All right. I like hearing it from Mike better than Oscar somehow.
All right, start the show, you hump. We got that business out of the way. Thank you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again.
Robinson's residence.
Jim, is this a bad time?
No, just dressing. Going to a charity do. What's happened?
Rats.
Are you serious? That is one tremendous step, Ross. Really tremendous. But tomorrow's fine. Absolutely. Now, come ahead. Now, we'll be in Connecticut the whole weekend. This is terribly exciting. I can't tell you how pleased I am that you thought to call me first.
Oh, this is impossible. I give up.
Kiss your good lady for me. I certainly will.
Never do this again. I feel ridiculous.
Linda, better move it, sweetie.
2 seconds, Jim. God, my third can of hairspray.
That was Ross. He's got a little project he wants some help with.
Oh?
He wants to buy out RJR Nabisco.
What?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
That's the one. That's Barbarians at the Gate, right?
Yep.
With Fred Thompson, who passed away this past weekend. We'll have more about him in news you may not need. Coming to you live from the Cappy Pfeiffer studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you are here, you do too. Hold on just a second. Got a new sponsor for the Mike O'Mara Show, and I got to stand up for a second because I'm taking something off the wall here in my studio.
What are you, Michael Jackson?
Hold on.
Off the wall.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, you see,
nice.
It's a good 40-year-old reference.
Can you see it?
Oh, my God. Look at that.
Framed picture of little Michael.
That is gorgeous.
Oh, that is beautiful. Wow.
Isn't that pretty?
Beautiful.
Wonderful.
Isn't that pretty? Our show today is brought to you by Framebridge.
Framebridge, he said.
Framebridge.
Everyone's favorite off-mic sponsor.
If you've got a million photos lying around your house in your phone, as I did, in my computer, as I did, and you don't have them framed, that's a picture that's been in my computer for months. And I decided to go to my friends at Framebridge and get it framed. You can get anything framed thanks to Framebridge.com. They can do it for you. I use Framebridge.com, and let me tell you something. You want to talk about easy. You want to talk about speed of use. I am not exaggerating here. I didn't time myself. I didn't put myself on a stopwatch. But if I spent more than 10 minutes getting that entire project done, that might have been a little long. I'm exaggerating that. I love the results. Just go to framebridge.com. You choose your frame. You upload your art. You preview it, and you buy it, and you get it done. And then it comes to your home like mine did with my son frame, and it's gorgeous. I love it. If you can't upload it, if you don't want to do the technical stuff, don't worry about it. You can mail your photo to FrameBridge absolutely free. Your frame piece arrives at your door ready to hang. And when I say ready to hang, that means they put the wire on the back. They do it professionally, so it's ready to go on the wall. They give you the hardware to hang the picture, so
awesome.
You don't have to run Perfect. Out and get that as well. I mean, ready to hang is exactly what it is. Prices start at just $39 and are up to 70% less than traditional framing stores. FrameBridge has lots of framing options, from classic to eclectic. We love it. Go to FrameBridge.com. Find your favorite frame from their curated collection, upload your art, or mail it in for free. Preview your art in a custom frame. You can see the way it looks right online.
Wow.
And enter the code TMOS checkout to get 15%. That's TMOS at checkout to get 15% off and free shipping. Then receive your beautiful custom art ready to hang. Don't wait. This offer is this week only. This week only. Oh, my God.
You better
get on it. We got to get on the pony with this one right now.
Quick turnaround. Very cool.
Yeah, please do that. Go to framebridge.com. Use the TMOS code and save. They're new to this podcast, and when we say this week only, let me translate what that means for you, the listener. If you are an avid fan and there's something that you've been thinking about framing, if you do this for us this week, it's going to make the show look very, very good with
you
our
bet.
Fine new sponsor, FrameBridge. So please take care of that, and let's make a good impression on them. I would really appreciate that. Thank you.
It turned out so great. Did you choose the frame, or did you have someone suggest it to you?
I chose the frame myself.
Beautiful.
I did the whole thing myself. I knew it was a photograph that Carla really liked, and I went ahead and did that. Welcome. Happy Monday after Halloween weekend. I will tell you this, that I am a little Logie. I'm sure that Oscar Santana is a little Logie. But I am Logie from Friday night.
As you get older, sometimes the hangovers do take a couple days.
Really?
Yeah.
How was Hordaween with the Big Owen Duke show?
Fantastic success. Thank you for asking. A lot of fun.
That's
yes.
Cool.
That's
cool.
A lot of fun. I saw you as Dexter and Shannon as
Dexter's victim.
And did Chad get a whole brand new haircut for that?
He did.
That party?
He went all in.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, he committed, and it was a wrestler, I take it.
Yeah, for sure.
And so,
it was a specific wrestler, though, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know their names.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was the Heartbreak Kid.
I think it might be Hulk Hogan.
No.
How hard did you, I know that you love a good party. And,
yes.
You know, you have these opportunities with your schedule, when it's on the schedule for months and months, that you allot the time. Did you go balls to the wall?
So
did you go
there's,
crazy?
You probably know that it's juxtaposition.
Very good.
Yes. So there's
that's
a,
right.
There's a strange juxtaposition.
Can he have a ding, Mike? I think he should have a ding. Yeah, that's good. 20
juxtaposition.
Points. Juxtaposition. We set the board, and we go to Darthy Kilgallen.
Going from 12 hours of class to a Halloween party, right?
That's really not a juxtaposition.
It's not.
A juxtaposition would be two things side by side to compare. What that is, it's an odd transition.
No,
or
well,
a conflict.
If you're comparing both days, like the day and night, is
okay,
what I mean.
So
not the transition.
Oh, Mike, he's getting ready to juxtapose something
yes.
for us.
Ooh. So what you're saying is you're crazy in class because
yes.
you're working all day on Friday, and then you got this party Saturday night.
Was
the party Friday night or Saturday?
It was Saturday night. So I had Friday, Saturday class.
The actual Halloween night.
Yeah, right. So we had the party on Saturday night. So when you're there in class just really trying to figure out what aggregated demand and aggregated supply and inflation, deflation means and how the economy works. And then...
Have you seen any aggregators in your pond, Mike?
No.
And then you get to our party... It really is. There are two different worlds, and I got to tell you that while I enjoy school, it's nice to have that world to go to as soon as you're done with the world of
blow off
finance,
some steam.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
So much fun. And yes, we have a brand new beer, the Feasting Horn, which is tasty, perfect for the fall, and it is just a lot of fun. So
tell me about the new beer. What are three of its characteristics?
Well, you can drink it all day. How's that?
It's got a low ABV.
Never met one I haven't. Well, depending on who you are, 4.8, 4.9.
Okay.
It feels like a 6.0. After
well,
the second one, I said,
something.
Well, then.
Mike O'Mara should drink that ABV forever. From
what did
on.
You get into on Friday night?
Friday night was on the hangover. Just let me finish with you.
Yeah.
On the hangover scale, where were you on the hangover scale on Sunday morning?
This is where I disappoint.
Yes.
Because I have.
I'm glad.
I had
that'll offer balance to the show.
I
balance.
Had, I had a big study group day on Sunday.
Okay.
I probably on a hangover was at a 5 out of 10.
Now the study group, was that in costume?
No, it wasn't in costume.
I'm glad.
But I had to pace myself so much so that I stopped drinking at a certain point in the evening and probably left that bar at 2 after a few big meals, and I was good to go.
Wow.
I could have driven home.
I'm extremely proud of you. Now, I mentioned that we had a big social weekend. Not only were we going to have another couple over on Friday night, the McFiggins.
Yes.
Not the Chubbixes.
I saw this weekend.
We were going to be going to the Cocoonville Halloween shindig on Saturday night. So we had two, count them two. Now, first of all, since I've been 24 years old,
right,
I can't do that. You cannot schedule me for two legitimate social actions on a way. I can't. I can't do it.
What
I don't
if?
Have the self-control. I can't do it. I mean, it's and especially now that I never drink anything. I never go out anymore. I don't party like I used to. Now I have no ability to deal with it.
Did you have any sort of way to mentally prepare yourself that with the McFiggins you have to stay in first gear so that you'll be okay the second
day? Didn't think it through, Rob. God, I did not think it through. I will tell you that I was also caught by surprise. We have to take a break because
right.
We do have Judah Friedlander will be joining us in studio. I'll wrap this up and then hopefully Judah will come in as I'm wrapping this up and we can ask Judah how his Halloween was, because God knows it looks like he wears a costume every time he's on stage. We'll take a break, come back with more. You're listening to the Mike O'Bara Show on Power 105 WAVA. No, it's not.
I don't know what's gonna happen to you, babe.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm little Gary Stein.
And on this week's episode of the show, we present for you some Grammy hopefuls.
And they're wonderful.
They're all fantastic.
And you probably never heard of them.
Also, Rob Ford gives us some of his musical selections. It's the Tony Perkins Show at TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the new Tony Perkins Show app.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Have you heard about Movember?
Movember.
Movember is the month that men grow mustaches to raise awareness and money for men's health issues. Whether or not you participate, you should know this. Harry's is the official razor partner for Movember. So thank you, Harry's, for supporting the Movember Foundation. Just another reason that Harry's is the best. Harry's makes shaving a pleasure. Harry's gives me a better shave. Can you turn that down just a little bit or give me my sender something,
Rob? You bet.
Harry's gives me a better shave, a razor that feels great in my hand and on my face, and I love knowing that I didn't spend a fortune on razor blades. How do they do it? Harry's was started by two guys with a passion for the best shaving experience, so they bought a razor factory in Germany that has been making the highest quality blades for nearly a century, and that means the best shave of your life. Shipped right to your door at factory direct prices. Now get the starter set. That's a razor handle, 3-blade cartridges, and your choice of shaving cream or gel. Only $10 with the code TMOS. One of the best deals you will find online, period. Always free shipping and always 100% guaranteed. That's Harry's, and Harry's gives 1% of their sales and 1% of their time back to the community they serve. Go to harrys.com right now for this special offer just for our listeners. Enter the code TMOS at checkout to get $5 off your first purchase. That's HARRYS.com and the code TMOS. Thank you.
Best shaving All right. cream in the world, Mike. I swear to it. It's the best.
You know, I love every product they have, and
yeah,
especially the blades.
It's
They're
so
great.
True, and they last forever.
So getting back to the whole thing, so Friday night, I'm excited. I get excited. I haven't
Mike
socialized
is
down
excited.
Here. I'm excited.
This man is excited.
And I got excited at the meet and greet. I got excited when I went off the wagon, when I fell off the wagon back in, I think, the summertime when Carl and I went down to the Keys.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, when I get excited, and it's been a long time, I just should manage things better. I am now, I told Carl this, it's going to be either I know how to say, at this number, I am officially over, or I'm just stopping altogether, which
right.
I was able to do for a year. I can do that. Whether I can do it where I just go, number three, that's the challenge for me. I didn't plan. And so I didn't plan. We had a couple of drinky poos before dinner. The McFiggins arrived. We're chatting.
And this is at your house, right?
At my house.
Okay.
I'm making some steaks on the grill. They're a wonderful couple from the Midwest who we get along great. They're very bright and very fun to talk to. And I'm going to fire up the grill. They bring a really great bottle of wine. And there's where the problem
was.
Because I made the switch between a big man drinky drinky, Irish whiskey whiskey, to whiny whiny. And one glass of wine would have been fine.
Okay.
Two glasses of wine would have been questionable. I probably would have felt a little rough the next
day. You're mine. You walk the line.
The amount of wine I drank, apparently. First of all, I was... it was a wonderful evening. Nothing happened during the course of the evening that was evil. It was the next day. And the next day, I opened my eyes on Saturday morning at 11 a.m.
Oh, my God.
When is the last time you slept past 10?
Can't even tell you.
Little Micah must have been hungry.
Yeah.
I get,
scratching scratching at the door. Papa.
We have Mama.
Food.
We have
food.
Mama. She's
food.
Up.
Food.
Mama informed me that she was up with him at 5:30 in the morning, too.
Oh.
And apparently, I said, well, thanks for letting me sleep in. She said, I didn't have much of a choice.
Oh, no.
So it was kind of that. And then it was the all... day horrible, like my body going to war with me, and the kind where
sweats.
I don't know if you've ever. Oh, I had it all.
Stomach.
I had the light. Oh, yes.
Did
yes,
you pray to God?
You didn't.
I didn't.
No,
I didn't yak. I didn't yak.
Attaboy. No, well, he's a pro. Yak. He's a pro.
No, but the thing is, I think that's why my body is eventually going to fail altogether because I don't expel this poison that's in me. And the fact
because
is that
it's too precious to you.
Yeah.
You must never give it back.
Well, you're like a good engine. That's your lubricant.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible. I am drinking quarts of water. I am trying to hydrate. It's not
you
making.
Don't
I'm taking vitamins. I'm trying to do everything I can. And I'm realizing also that suddenly it's like 12:30 and we have another social event to go to and we have to go to the neighbors for drinks. And then we're going to the Cocoon Halloween
party.
Oh,
so you actually have an engagement before the engagement.
Yeah, I was sitting there, and Carla is in fine shape, and Carla's quite looking forward to it because we have a babysitter going to this little event, and I realized, you know, I'm not going to disappoint her because that will be, I will pay for that for
months to come.
You
can't blow off Carla like you blow off Jimmy. You just can't.
Right.
I can't do it. Can't do that like I did, which was the day after another exciting night where I also didn't manage the, I can't handle it anymore. I'm not mature enough. I don't have the, I'm 56 years old, and I'm still a toddler when it comes to like, ooh, drink. It's great. This is me. This is me going to a party. Oh, you like the show? Great. I can't do it. Sucks.
If you want to make fake plans with Mike O'Mara. Oh, we have a guest.
Oh, we do
we have a guest. Look at this.
Is Judah coming in?
Yeah, we'll get right back to that.
All right,
come
ladies
on
and
in
gentlemen,
if you don't mind.
Bring him in. Bring Thank in you. Judah Friedlander, ladies and gentlemen. Coming to the DC Improv Tuesday, November 3rd for a special book tour event at 8 p.m. The book is called If the Raindrops United, a book comprised of drawings and cartoons. He's multi-talented, ladies and gentlemen. The ticket price includes a copy of Judah's new book, If the Raindrops United. Go to DC Improv for tickets. Unusual, Judah, to do a Tuesday gig at a comedy. You guys are creatures of the weekend normally. This is a kind of a book tour slash stand-up thing, right?
You know, I like to keep people guessing. You know, you never like to do the obvious. Always, you got to get them when they least expect it.
That's awesome. Judah, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We had you on the old show before I was fired from the radio, and we're delighted
not
to have
fault,
you back.
Not his fault, though. Not his fault.
No, it's not Judah's
well,
fault.
I believe it happened shortly thereafter. I don't want to point fingers at anybody or any of that. But Judah's here, and we were in the middle of talking about hangovers because I got a little excited down here over the weekend and kind of ruined my Saturday night activity with my Friday night activity.
Well, this was a big party weekend. It was daylight savings.
Yes.
You know, every daylight savings, you know, I just go crazy. You know?
Man, fall back. Fall down. You have that giant fall back party up in New York.
Yeah, dude, it's all over the country. That's just where it happens. I mean, Halloween's one thing, but it's like...
Eh.
All about daylight
saving. Oh, God. So I'm just sitting there, you know, trying to, you know, rally and praying that there would be some circumstance where I would be able to say to my wife that I don't have to go. I don't have to do
it. What time are the two engagements? Because you had the pre-drinks and then you had the party.
The pre-drinks are at 6 o'clock. It's a neighborhood function down here in Cocoonville, so I basically don't want to disappoint the neighbors. I don't want to go to this event. There's nothing.
And you've only been down a couple weeks. You have to make a good impression to remind them.
Don't want to be there. And they're a bunch of people that have costumes on and they're older, and so it was just it was a drag.
Did you end up doing anything costumey at all?
I wore the top hat that Twitch gave me from the Ringling Brothers Circus.
Excellent. And were you a flaming ringmaster?
Going to the neighbor's house and I saw that they have these Angry Birds costumes on, and then I decided, all right, I'll put the top hat on.
Excellent.
and then immediately I say to my next door neighbor, he said, "What can I get you?" I said, "I'll have just a soda water with a slice of lime." And you know what he says to me?
What?
He says, "Oh, you had a little too much Friday night, huh?" Because they all know that. Yeah. And so that I was busted with that,
one more drink would have bought you a couple hours. If you had one, it would have brought you right back to where you were.
I know. But anyway, I ruined the weekend, and I'm still ruining my day. I still feel like I think I'm quitting drinking. All Judah, do you drink? Do you? I never asked you that. Do you drink?
No, I only eat. No liquids.
You know, I thought.
Thank you, Judah.
I'm like a gremlin. No water. Don't put me in near water. I multiply.
Yeah. He's like he's a human cactus, ladies. It's very, 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 very special. Judah survives in arid climates very well.
That's where I've been the past few years since I saw him. I've just been roaming the deserts. You know, just.
I haven't seen you in a while. I like the beard. It looks,
distinguished.
Father Time a little bit in the old.
Sophisticated. Sophisticated.
It looks nice. It looks nice. You know, the best time we had, really one of the best times I ever had on the radio, and I'm not doing that to you twice, but when you came in I'm not sure when it was, Rob, you would probably remember the year that Judah came on the Mike O'Mara show.
It would be late 2008, probably.
And I never left character doing the interview.
That was an amazing interview. I remember it very well.
So much fun.
Yeah, I wish, I don't know if you still have audio of that, but I would love to get a copy of that.
Oh, CBS honors all my requests. Yeah. Call them up and say, hey.
Should I break into the vault?
Send it right over.
No, that was great. That was that was one of the best interviews the world champion's ever done.
Yeah, I mean.
But aren't they all the best?
That was probably the best.
And well, the fact is, Judah, you know, I mean, it's got to be a grind for you still to this day, because you still are, correct? Are you still the world champion? I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, I'm still undefeated.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And as many of you might not know this, that you know, women want to be with him and men want to be like him. So that is it's got to be a bit of a cross to bear, I would think.
Women love me, men hate me, yet they worship me.
It's changed, Mike. It has changed.
It's a little modified now.
It's just, you know.
It truly is.
It's true.
So tell me, your book is Drawings and Cartoons. Have you always been doing this? Is this your thing? If the raindrops united, and because we have such a well-oiled machine, there's the book right there that no one sent me, and I'm just, can you hold it up to the screen? There you go, and hold it up to me. Let me see it. There it is. Oh, and that's your original artwork there?
Yeah. So basically this is, I always drew a lot as a kid.
Right.
And then when I was 19, I started doing stand-up. And then it's somewhere in my 20s, I kind of stopped drawing and painting. And then a couple of years ago, I kind of just started again. I was touring so much. It's sort of like just, downtime with traveling and all that stuff. I just started, I always carry around pen and paper. I just started drawing again. Then after a few months, I had probably 30, 40 drawings. And by drawings, I mean, they're mostly, and most of the book is single panel cartoons. So it's like a drawing and then a capture at the bottom, and together they form a joke. And the cover of the book is a it's a giant raindrop about 20 city blocks in diameter. And so it's, and the caption, which is also the title, is "If the Raindrops United." Like, like imagine the power that you have. So it's kind of a metaphor for people. Like if people can actually put aside some of their petty differences or huge differences, they can... they can have a lot of power.
So sorry. There's one that says tick, tack, toe, and Jude has drawn a tick, a tack, and a toe.
Yeah, it's a severed toe. Yeah. It's a sharp, pointy tack, and it's a big, fat tick who just stuck down a lot of blood.
I love your, the style of your drawings. They remind me of John Lennon. They are really cool. They're simplistic, but they definitely convey what they are. And I liked the pencil for someone.
I would go with simplistic. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a, you know,
I call it perfect. I call it perfect. That's the style I call it.
I would call it the best.
So the fact that, you know, not drinking anything, does that frees up a little extra time to do the drawings, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. Yeah, when I quit taking in liquids, that's when I started drawing again.
And, you know, Mike, I obviously saved many trips to the bathroom. If you're not going to be taking in any liquid at all, think of all the extra time.
Did you do anything special for Halloween weekend, Judith? Did you get out and enjoy it at all?
If the Feces United was another title I was thinking of for the book. And then I was like, no.
School bus safety idea number 17. What a brilliant idea to put a parachute on a school bus,
yeah,
Judith.
In case a school bus, you know, crashes off a cliff.
That's, you know what?
It comes pre-equipped with a parachute, and then you're fine.
You never know.
Amazing.
You know,
and,
bound to happen.
It may require the school bus to go probably over 80 miles an hour and hit a real jagged cliff, you know, to go airborne without tilting. I think.
You know, I think we need to get these kids in school as fast as possible. I think school buses should be allowed to speed. If anyone's going to be allowed to speed, it should be school buses.
That's a good point.
Well, if you're fans of Judah Friedlander, you know, and of course, you have the collection, his first book was the best-selling How to Beat Up Anybody, and I think you can tell by, well, we can look at him here in studio and know that he can, and yes. If you'd like to do that as well. We're going to take a break. Come back with more. We are here with Judah Friedlander, and we'll tell you all about where he's going to be in D.C. this Tuesday night. We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Meara Show.
I'm sorry, Mother. I'm sorry I let you down. Well, these days I'm fine. No, these days I've turned the light.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Let's face it, you need to know how to cook. You can finally put your kitchen to good use. Besides, cooking at home means eating healthier and saving money instead of ordering expensive takeout again. But where do you start? How about Blue Apron? We've been telling you about Blue Apron for a while now. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers all of the fresh ingredients you need to create delicious home-cooked meals. Just follow the easy step-by-step instructions. Each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less, and that means no more overwhelming trips to the grocery store and no more sad takeout. No matter what dietary preferences you have, Blue Apron makes it a breeze to discover and prepare dishes like Asian pork meatballs with butter lettuce. Butter lettuce.
Mmm, so tender.
Feel like I should be doing this in a Julia Child voice.
Oh, do it.
Butter lettuce and soy dipping sauce or acorn squash tempura tacos. They have so many unique ingredients. Carla makes these for us all the time, and we love them. Plus, you'll be cooking with ingredients you've never used before, and that teaches you how to cook, and it's great. The recipes are between 500 and 700 calories per portion, delicious and good for you. And right now, you can get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. Our treat, really, the first two meals are on us when you go to blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. We are here with Judah Friedlander. He is going to be at the D.C. Improv tomorrow night, November 3rd, for a special book tour event at 8 p.m. The book is called If Raindrops United, a book comprised of drawings and cartoons. Ticket price includes a copy of Judah's new book, If the Raindrops United. Go to D.C. Improv for tickets. And Judah joins us now. And how you been? How you feeling? How's life? What's new? How are you? Are you married? Are you not? What's going on?
Make it a comeback. You know,
making a comeback.
No, things are good, man. A couple of years ago, I was living in Queens, New York for years, where if you don't know Queens, New York, it's sort of like I was living on a mile past the last stop on the subway. So it's still city like. It's very international, but it's also kind of quiet and a little secluded, even though it's like city-like. So, and I would always drive in every night to the city doing shows in New York City every night. So I moved back to Manhattan about 2 years ago. And that's also another thing that kind of prompted doing the book is that mm-hmm. Because a lot of most of the book is comedy, but a lot of the drawings are sort of, it's a comedic sort of satirical dark look at like serious issues. And one of them is gentrification and classism and New York City. I mean, I know D.C.'s had, you know, a lot of neighborhoods that have been very gentrified.
Number one in the country right now.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. Wow. A lot of it up in Boston, too.
Wow.
A lot of it going on.
Yeah. In the book, I have a drawing that's it's a gentrified Rubik's Cube, and it's just all one color. It's just all white. All white. And so a lot of the New York City has, you know, gentrification's a huge thing in New York. And so I really just... I started not just seeing it more because it was happening more, but when I moved back to Manhattan 2 years ago, I really started just noticing things so much more because I would still do shows every night when I lived in Queens, but I wasn't there during the day. And it's such a odd kind of a place now, Manhattan, where it's like super, almost everyone is like super wealthy.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
it's squeezing out.
You know, I mean, look, you can make it political, or not. But the fact is, you know, I was up in Boston visiting my sister up there. They moved from the burbs back into the city, and it was, you know, you look at this and you go, wow, everybody kind of is at this level, and it's you know, when you hear certain politicians talk about the shrinking middle class, well, there's a great example of it.
Yeah.
You're squeezing people out, and I don't know where they're going to, but Manhattan probably you know, the first to really start doing that. And everything's kind of, I don't know, it feels when I've been in New York, and actually this is even years ago, it started to feel a little out of reach, you know.
It's kind of crazy. And it's not just gentrified, it's also very corporate, you know, like in New York City. You will have a CVS pharmacy right next to a Walgreens pharmacy, and there's no need for that, you know.
Right.
But they're the ones who can afford the retail space. And then, you know, so it's just like Manhattan. It's not a healthy dynamic when all your teachers, all your cops, your firemen, all your waiters and waitresses, they all work there, but none of them can afford to live there. So it's a very, it almost... when you're there during the day, it really kind of feels like, okay, you know, because still everyone, you see all races and everything during the day, but then at night when people go home after work, it's just all the people who live there left, and you're like, wow, it's all white people with a few Asian people. And but the big thing, the big factor is ultra wealthy.
Yeah.
So it's not like a healthy dynamic for a city that's... It almost feels like this, you know, five-star hotel resort city, and everyone works there are just there to please these people who live there. So it's, and I feel like you're saying, a lot of cities are becoming that way, and it's really weird.
So it's income inequality, and what's happening in San Francisco is tech inequality.
Yeah.
We just went over this this weekend in school, Mike.
Hey,
in
this is my MBA-er right here. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. But you're absolutely right. What you're experiencing is happening across the country in these big cities where the people who run the cities can't afford to live in the cities that they run.
And that's not healthy, you know. So
no, it's almost like a Disneyfication. They're creating a society that can't support itself.
Yeah, it's like this weird dystopian future, but it's kind of here. I have one. There's a 10-page comic book within the book, and it's called Gentrification Man, who's the first superhero who stands up for the rights of corporations and the ultra-wealthy. And there's a Korean-owned laundromat where it's $1.50 to wash a load of laundry that's been there for 50 years.
What does he do to it? Does he attack it?
The local people who live in the neighborhood, the new people who live there, you know, they don't like that fluorescent lighting. You know, it really bothers their anxiety, and they have to up their Klonopin prescriptions because of that. That just offensive fluorescent lighting for the laundromat. So Gentrification Man shows up and chokes out the old woman who owns the store and charges her with a felony account for not serving anything that is overpriced and failure to serve brunch, which is a felony. Which is a felony, not serving brunch, no matter what kind of establishment you are. And he changes the zoning laws throws her in one of the drying machines, and then he reopens, he closes that laundromat down, and the next day reopens it into a $50 ketchup shop. Organic $50 ketchup shop.
Gentrification man.
Yeah, exactly.
Faster than a speeding bullet. He will upscale your neighborhood, ladies and gentlemen. And the thing about this, though, you know, you talk about it living in New York, as you do. I've spent time in Boston, but people in the middle of the country, they don't see this coming. And it's happening in the cities, where the cities are kind of a place for the privileged. You know, I got news for you. If you want to know, if you live in middle America, if you're somebody that's listening to us out in Iowa, just take in a Yankee game on TV sometime and look at the first two rows. I think you will see exactly what Judah's talking about. You'll see the chairs that don't look like they belong in a baseball stadium because right. They're like Barco loungers.
Yeah.
And you'll see, maybe this was last year, maybe the year before. It's when the new stadium was built, and I started paying attention to the first two rows at a Yankee game. I said, look at those dicks.
Yeah.
Look at, and
it looks like seating from Brookstone. It looks like something you'd see in the middle of a mall.
But it's sporting, at sporting events, it's been true in D.C. for years as well, where, you know, the people that are going to a lot of these games now are not the father with with his daughter and his son going out there. They're the guys, you know, hey, Phil from the law firm, we cheat him and how, and they're all going rolling in there, and they're sitting there and having their front row seats. That's
people who work at like J.P. Morgan, and their company just gets all these seats, and then they just show up once in a while, you know, and act like they're cool.
Yeah, meanwhile, we're looking down there going, hey, those look like really nice seats.
Yeah.
$9.50 for a hot dog. and I don't know how to feel about it. I mean, I guess, I'm 56 now, but at the same time, I know that, my best earning days are behind me. But the fact is, you look at it like that, even people that are trying to go for it, Oscar Santana, do you feel as though do you want to grab it? Do you feel that you want to be part of that group, or do you feel like
full
you
disclosure?
Be...
I'm the douchebag that has the friend that works at J.P. Morgan and goes
right.
And really, there's a part of me that feels guilty for being there.
So you vibe on it.
I don't deserve to be there, but I'll go.
Yeah,
but I feel guilty because, while I'm watching the game, I'm more enamored of the fact that I can order anything and it'll be there. So I stare more at the menu than I do the game, and that's not the way the game experience should be.
How
right?
much is the guilt offset yes. by the fact that, oh my God, I'm here, and you're part, you're part of the elite?
This is how guilty I feel.
Okay.
At age 37 now, the 37-year-old me.
Right.
I don't like posting pictures when I get tickets on that level.
Right.
Because I feel like I'm bragging. And it's really not mean. It's just someone that I know or go to school with.
Right.
So I don't feel comfortable doing that.
And that said, Mike, you came from a time when your dad would take you to football games. Your dad would take you to baseball games. Not regularly, but, occasionally. But now I've got a son who would love to go see a basketball game, a football game, a baseball game. It's almost prohibitively expensive unless you have some kind of hookup.
Yeah.
And so it's
$250 a day if you're lucky.
Yes.
A $500 night probably.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Just insane.
You can't think
about it. But Judah, when you're talking about New York and you're talking about actually people living in places.
Yes. You know,
the people can't live there anymore. Yeah. I guess for years it was maybe rent control that, tried to control. And then, slowly but surely they've edged that out. And, where do you see it going? Seriously. I mean, that's a serious question.
I don't know. It's like, I know doctors who can't afford to live in Manhattan.
Right.
Doctors. Wow. They make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they live in New Jersey because they can't afford Manhattan.
It's true.
It's just true. Yeah, it's just it's really crazy, It's just I don't know where it's going.
Is the lot like for example, I'm sorry, Judah, my building was gentrified, right? 5 years ago. I lived in a rent controlled building, and developers came knocking, and they said, you can either take the sack of cash and walk away, or you can stay and buy. And only two people stayed and buy, and everyone left. Now, the money they were offering at that point was good money, but in the long run, not great money.
Staying and buying probably would have made more money.
Yes,
probably.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I stayed and bought, but for the people that didn't have that opportunity or were in a position to do so because they were still in school.
Yeah.
They walked away thinking, okay, you're weighing both the options, but they really didn't have an option.
Right.
Because how do you say no to that lump sum, and how do you figure out how to say yes for a longer payday?
And chances are many of them that had been there so long, they didn't have the money to buy unless they took the buyout.
I'm going to interrupt here for just a second and just make a suggestion. If you think I'm over the top, I'll ask Judah specifically. Judah, and I want you to answer this question seriously. You think maybe it's a good time to start kidnapping wealthy people?
Oh, stop!
Well, that's just a thought. It's just a thought that popped into my head.
No, yeah. I hear where you're coming from. I don't think that's the answer.
Okay.
All right. But I don't know what the answer is. Because that's in Mexico, apparently, that's what happens.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's caused quite a lot of bad press.
He didn't totally shut your idea down, though, Mike. Yeah. I think we should leave it on the table.
No, I think your heart is in the right place, is what I'm trying to tell you.
I don't know. Look, I'm not advocating killing them unless it's a last resort.
I think
resort.
Your heart is in the right place.
Maybe with maybe wealthy couples without children. And then you can go to their parents who happen to be wealthy as well. I don't know whether that would work.
Especially if they're in an unhappy marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, then you're sort of, it's a little bit of a win-win then.
Yeah, I mean, if it was like the heads of the head CEOs of companies.
Right.
You know, maybe that would be a good idea. Yeah. You know, because you got to go to the top. I think if you're just going with, people who are huge and rich, then you're just going to create this whole new bodyguard industry, which will, get more jobs, But if you go right to the top, the people
they'd
who
still
are,
be driving him from Queens, though.
You know, probably, the people who are the ultimate, those CEOs that are making
the top tier.
Yeah. If this goes badly, what we do is it's just a big shot in the arm for big bodyguard. And that industry goes crazy.
So here's what we do.
That.
I got it. Here's big what we do. We start our bodyguard business first.
Aha.
And then you do the kidnappings.
That's it. That's it.
And then we all invest in stock in our bodyguard company.
Yeah. The bodyguard company goes public. We are done. We're set.
And then we become the ultra wealthy. And then they never know that we're behind all the kidnappings.
Yeah.
And then we just sell the company. And then the kidnappings stop. And they go out of business because we were doing all the kidnappings.
There you go. Great ideas from the Mike O'Mara Show. Write it down. Yeah, you can laugh all you want, people, but this could be something that really, really works.
I think we just came up with something brilliant here.
Huge.
Huge. Well, you know what? We've known that you've had these brilliant ideas for most of your career, Judah, but I wouldn't want to let you get out of here without getting some nutritional advice, because what people don't realize is that Judah has been, I don't want to go into great detail, but just suffice to say it's world champion, speaks for itself. Judah, what do you do to maintain, your high standards, diet, as far as diet is concerned? I know it's important to you.
You want a real answer?
Excuse me. Hold on. Somebody's at the door.
He wants to know if I want a real answer.
Maybe.
No, it's like with food, man, it's just food and weight. It's a constant battle. Mm-hmm. And there's no good answers,
Well, you don't take any liquids in, right? No liquids whatsoever.
Yeah, no liquids. That makes it. Mm-hmm.
That
means I have to eat more.
Do you encourage the $200 ketchup? Do you think it's worth it?
No, I'm against that.
Okay. How many hours of the day do you exercise, Judah?
I do a little bit every day. Yeah, I do.
Any specific routine?
Well, I'm old, so mostly walking. Believe it or not.
Hey, that's mine.
I know.
That's mine,
too.
That's fantastic.
That becomes the main thing. I actually do play some competitive table tennis. I know it sounds like a joke, but yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and there's actually...
it doesn't sound like a joke to me.
No. No, but there's a real... in Gaithersburg, Maryland, it's the Maryland Table Tennis Center.
And you're from Gaithersburg, right?
Yeah, mdttc.com. And you have some of the best players in the country playing there. And,
did you grow up in Gaithersburg, Maryland?
Yeah, Gaithersburg.
Do you know when you were, because you're younger than I am, I think.
Yeah.
And I worked, that was one of my very first jobs out of college, was working in as a club DJ in the Gaithersburg Marriott Hotel.
Oh, wow.
Raffles 2 at the Gaithersburg Marriott Hotel.
Was that the name of the bar?
Yeah, Raffles 2.
I remember seeing that sign. That's the one that's right on 355.
Yeah.
It's right off of
it's 270,
edge,
right
270,
off of
edge at 11
it's
there.
270 and 355 right there.
But he doesn't remember seeing your photograph, Mike.
You were the DJ at Raffles, too? What year were you there?
18. No, that would have been, seriously, 1981, 82 in the early 80s.
Lots of blow.
I would have been
tons of blow.
And when were you first on the radio?
First on the radio back when I was a pup, and I started really in earnest probably right around the same time.
Yeah, because I remember you in high school. I remember you. I remember listening to you on the radio.
The old Don and Mike show. The Don and Mike show. And
Is that 105?
They hired me from that.
That was a 105, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And they asked me to come in and do afternoons with Don, and then I said no because I had guys working for me at this club, and I was making money, and of course it was even back then radio was radio. I didn't know I was playing hardball with these people. I said, but if you ever put Don on in the morning, let me know. And then 2.5 weeks later, they put us.
It
on
was
in the
that
morning.
Fast.
So, yeah, it happened.
I didn't know the
really,
turnaround was that fast.
Really, really, really quick turnaround.
That's awesome.
And we started working together, and yeah, I would do contract production by day where I'd go in and go, it's an REO Speedwagon weekend on Power 105. And then at night I'd do the club DJ thing, including a Sunday country afternoon DJ gig, which was you might as well take my testicles and hit them with the hammer because it was the most painful thing I have ever done, where they would do the line dancing.
Oh, sure.
And everybody would drink water. And I think I had to come in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday. Please kill me now.
Was that also at Raffles?
That was at Raffles 2. Yes. Not Raffles. Raffles 2.
So you're a Raffles 2 success story.
You're damn right. Absolutely.
One of the biggest.
That's awesome.
Can you hang out for the news?
Yeah,
I can
hang out
for
the news. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. We're here with Judah Friedlander. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Hi, this is the Internet's Steve Mermelstein. Perhaps you know me from The AmeriCast, where Marcus Serta serves as my sidekick. But I'm here to tell you about another podcast, Cake and Cookies. Cake and Cookies has Rob Spiewak and Katie Von Herman, and I never miss an episode. It's an important part of my well-balanced podcast listening diet. Besides, I love Katie, and Rob loves me. It's a strange love triangle, but you can truly feel the magic in the air. Cake and Cookies. Subscribe on iTunes or listen on the TMOS app. Mermelstein out.
Cake and Cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This segment of our program brought to you by Touch of Modern. Be the trendsetter in your group. It's easy to be that guy because the latest clothing trends and newest products are available right now at touchofmodern.com. Once you get the latest clothing and the newest products from touchofmodern.com, everyone will be copying your style. touchofmodern.com is the place for products and stylings for your home, your office, your closet, all in one cool place. It's a great website. Touch of Modern connects directly with top designers for timeless and unique products at the best prices anywhere. touchofmodern.com, always cool, always changing, and we love it. They scour the globe for jaw-dropping tech gadgets, sleek iPhone cases and accessories, new and vintage watches, sexy home decor, plus men's fashion and accessories that are sure to get you noticed. Touch of Modern. Right now, our listeners can get immediate access when they sign up at touchofmodern.com. That's touchofmodern.com. Do it today because tomorrow it will be different. That is how life rolls in the fast lane. You can spend hours surfing, and we really, really love it. It's touchofmodern.com, and we urge you to check them out and do that. We're here today with Judah Friedlander. Judah is coming to the DC Improv tomorrow night, November 3rd, for a special book tour event at 8 p.m. The book is called If the Raindrops United. It's a book with drawings and cartoons, and I think someday they will be teaching this book in classrooms around the country.
Mike, quickly, during the break, I talked to Judah. He's got another date he wants to plug later in November.
Go ahead,
as well.
Plug away, Judah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
November 30th, the Monday after Thanksgiving, I'm going to be back in D.C. again doing a book signing, a talk and book signing at Politics and Prose. That's a free event.
Cool.
In case you can't make
the
show tomorrow.
Here. That's, have you been there before, Judah? That's
yeah,
a big
I have.
Deal.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they have me there, but let's hope they're making the right decision.
And let me see. I see all the quotes from people. I'll give my own. Mike O'Mara raves, this is the finest book ever created by an individual that doesn't take in any appreciable fluid. All right? Absolutely. I think you'll
I can
you'll
stand
truly
by
like
that.
Yeah. Stand by again.
Stand by. Absolutely.
There we
go.
News.
Thank you. Jimmy Fallon. Do you know Jimmy? I mean, you hang around those people.
I worked with him several times. I did his old show, the late night show that he had four times, and he did 30 Rock once. So, okay. Yeah, I've met him before. Yeah.
I think this might, I might cry BS on this story from the New York Post. You know, he's had the two falls resulting in hand injuries, a chipped tooth, supposedly from trying to open a tube of scar cream. You know, one of the tabloids up in New York, the New York Post, is talking about the fact that he's out partying and that they're worried about it. I don't know if it's total BS. There was no source within the article that I found credible, but they say, now I hate it when they say
they
that,
say,
but we
Mike.
Report that NBC is starting to worry that Jimmy's drinking is getting excessive. A Manhattan bartender. There's your source. Who knows him, says, quote, he's a mess, but I love him. Well, you know, I mean, I was talking about partying the other night. If I'd been out in public and I
and
had
Mike,
the level
you're a mess
of Jimmy Fallon's
we
fame,
love you.
You know, I mean, I think the whole Saturday Night Live environment is kind of a, you know, pretty pressure cooker environment. And when you're doing the Tonight Show, that's a lot of pressure. I think they're saying that some of this might have to do with the Tonight Show gig. Former Saturday Night Live cast member Horatio Sanz says that when they were on the show together, they were, quote, super functioning alcoholics. So, you know,
I think
I know.
You'd have to be. I don't know that. I mean, I don't think that Saturday Night Live allows the environment for the drug use that it used to, because I think it's more high profile and it's more high pressure. So if you
bunch of squares,
if you squares, daddy-o. So if you drank, you would have to be super high functioning.
Well, we've got a guy that was in the pressure cooker of the you know, network television.
Sure.
You were doing it, Judah. What say you to this type of story that was floating around in the New York?
Yeah, Post? I don't know, but the guy's had like three accidents in a few months. It's like you gotta. You got to stop that. That's not like that's not normal. It's like, what are you doing? You know. So I don't know the reason, but it's like it's a little weird. You know. So, but he's like the nicest guy. He's like
really?
Like when you meet him, you're like, wow, that's like how is he's like really nice. You know, he's like really really warm, really cool dude. But I've never hung out with him outside of you know working with him on a show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like that finger thing he had, you know,
with the rug.
It's like
the ring,
it's like 4 months later, and it's still bandaged. I mean, that's not a normal little. I don't know what happened there, but
that sounds like a drunken fall to me. They
said that he was in the because I saw that article, and it said that he was in the ICU for 10 days for his finger and 6 hour surgery. I'm like
almost ripped the finger off by taking it, that.
That's
catching
like,
his wedding ring or something.
Yeah,
like that?
I don't know what, but it's like, you know, stop falling. You know, you got to work on your balance or
it's good advice.
It's core work. It's core work. Core.
You know?
Core work.
The Kansas City Royals beat the New York Mets. You lived in Queens for a while, Judah. 7-2 last night. I went to sleep when the game was 2-0 last night, and I had no idea that they were going to come back. I should have known better. It's possible the Mets would have won the game if not for over-enthusiastic pitcher Matt Harvey. Talked the manager into letting him go out for the ninth, and that's when all hell broke loose. The Mets were winning 2-0 the end of the eighth inning. When he got back to the dugout, Terry Collins told him he would not be going out for the ninth, but Harvey wanted to finish the game. Fox's cameras actually caught him pleading his case to Collins, and the fans were even chanting for him. So the manager gave in, let him take the mound for the ninth. He started the inning by walking Lorenzo Cain, who scored on a double by Eric Hosmer. Then Harvey got pulled, but Hosmer ended up scoring, pushing the game into extra innings. The Royals scored 5 in the 12th inning, and that was that. Kansas City, first time in a bunch of years, they have a world champion. So, you know, you can relate to that, Judah. I know the world championship.
Yeah,
my
the
God.
Mets. The Mets blew it. I was watching that. It's like you could see, like I knew the pitcher should have been pulled. It's like the pitching coach said, "All right, you're out. You're done. You did 8 great innings. Great.
Right.
We're gonna bring in the reliever and take this thing home." And they were up 2-0, and immediately the guy walks a guy, and then the guy gets a double. Run goes in, and it's like, it, and like Like, just, that's bad coaching.
It's ignoring you know, the good
part. I think
part.
It's the pressure cooker. It happened with Pedro Martinez and the Red Sox years ago. I think the pressure cooker of the situation, you don't make the same kind of decisions you'd make in the regular season where you go, hey, I'm the manager, get caught up in the moment, and he got screwed.
And the good part you're not focusing on is that the pitcher got his way.
Yes, he did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Rob. Al Molinaro, a frequent guest on the Old Don and Mike show. Al Molinaro from Happy Days. And Joni Loves Chachi. He passed away on Friday. He was 96. He had been suffering some gallstone issues and chose not to have surgery to have them removed because of his age. He played Al Del Vecchio, the chef and later owner of Arnold's Diner on Happy Days. Al also, way back when, played Murray the Cop on The Odd Couple. He did commercials for Encore Frozen Dinners for 16 years, and he revisited his Happy Days role in Weezer's video for Buddy Holly in 1995. And I will put this on all death stories. Rob Spiewak, rumored to be visibly excited.
Very, very there excited. You go, and yes, you, of course, remember...
Nobody likes celebrity deaths like you, Rob Spiewak.
You remember his catchphrase, Mike.
Yeah.
And he really kind of owed his career to Gary Marshall, because Gary Marshall did both The Odd Couple and Happy Days, and, of course, Joni Loves Chachi, too. So I couldn't believe he was as old as he was, though. I couldn't believe he was knocking on 100.
Yeah, he was great.
One
of the nicest men.
He was.
96 years old? Is that how much?
And Encore Dinners, Mike.
Knocking on 100.
He's knocking on 100 right there.
We'd call him somewhere in the Midwest, right? And he'd always answer the phone. He'd be like, hey, guys.
Hey, I think he lived in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
he moved
back
to Wisconsin, I think.
Yeah.
Actor and politician Fred Thompson passed away yesterday at the age of 73. He was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma more than a decade ago, and it had recently returned. Fred served as a Republican U.S. Senator from Tennessee for 8 years, from 94 to 2003. He also launched a brief presidential campaign back in 2007. As an actor, he played D.A. Arthur Branch on Law and Order from 2002 to 2007, and his movies included No Way Out, The Hunt for Red October, Die Hard 2, Curly Sue, Cape Fear, Secretariat, and Sinister. Rob Spiewak, rumored to be visibly excited.
Visibly excited, and also great to dust off the old DVD of Barbarians at the Gate.
Yeah, man, that was a great... Oh, I love that.
Maybe his best.
Made for TV.
And his Superman costume.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him once at the Palm, didn't we?
Fred Thompson?
I think we did. Yeah.
Georgetown resident for a while.
Yeah.
He was in politics.
Yeah, good guy.
The last person of any note that I saw was that ween Tucker Carlson at the Palm. And it's one of those awkward moments where I hate his politics, but he's a fan of the show. And he comes up and he's like, hey, all right, okay.
Did you ask him to fill your water glass?
Yeah, thank you, Tucker. Mr. Bowtie. Billy Bob Thornton was involved in a car accident early Friday morning in West Hollywood. There aren't many details, but Billy Bob was a passenger in one of the vehicles. He felt some pain in his head, so paramedics took him to the hospital to get things checked out. I said, get your goddamn hands off my head! he was back at work on set later in the day. Billy Bob hasn't commented, so I don't know what happened. That's it. Nothing more to add about
that. I'm guessing he has pains in his head a lot of
times.
Judah,
did you know either Al Molinaro, Fred Thompson, or Billy Bob Thornton?
Had I ever met
any relationship whatsoever? Run into any of those guys?
No, but Al, he was awesome. That's a guy. I think everybody just loved that guy.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes, wonderful human being.
Classic.
34-year-old Renee Tarbuck of Queensland, Australia, is an attractive blonde bikini model, and she's also an ecstasy dealer. The cops had been monitoring her drug operation for a few years, and back in May, they caught up with her at a shopping center, arrested her, cuffed her hands behind a back, and put her in a cop car. Then they got distracted trying to keep her three dogs from running into traffic, so she contorted herself to get her hands in front of her body, squeezed through the police car window, and took off. But after that, she also took some selfies with the cuffs on her wrists and sent them to a friend who forwarded them to the police. The cops tracked down Renee 3 months later and hit her with two new charges, escaping lawful custody and theft. The theft charge is actually from her stealing the handcuffs she was locked in when she ran away. I saw some pictures. She's probably a better ecstasy dealer than she is a bikini model.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Understood.
Not all that strong over there in Australia. And now a little something, something. Tons of people flooded Halloween shops for last-minute costumes last week. It happens every year, and at least one of them couldn't handle the excitement. 36-year-old Nigel Smith went to a Spirit Halloween store in Portland, Oregon. I really thought this would be a Florida story where I
really. Hey, make it be in Florida just for fun.
Okay. 36-year-old Nigel Smith went to a Spirit Halloween store in Port Lucie, Florida last week and apparently got turned on by the pictures of women on the sexy costume packages.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So he...
Trick or
treat. He immediately produced his wand and started giving himself pleasure right in the aisle at the Halloween store. When an employee confronted Nigel, Nigel shoved him. So another employee tackled him, and then Nigel bit them. Then three other people held him down until the cops could get there. He was arrested and charged with public indecency and fourth-degree assault. And more importantly, Nigel did not get to trick-or-treat Saturday night and was heard to exclaim as he was being put into the back of the car, "I've got to get that book! I've got to get that book! If the Raindrops United by Judah Friedlander, ladies and gentlemen."
He's been a great customer and fan for years.
Good guy.
We'll take a break. Come back with the audio vault. The audio vault. Sorry, with Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Listen to Omaricast and get caught up on all the shows of more broadcasting, like this clip from the Rob and Joe Show.
We are experiencing audio difficulties from our local program. No adjustment of your set is necessary.
Subscribe on iTunes or download it from MikeOMaraShow.com every Monday right here on the More Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, it's tough to run a small business. You got to ABC, always be closing. Well, ABC is as easy as 1, 2, 3 with Vistaprint.com. You can get 500 business cards, 500. For just $9.99 when you enter promo code TMOS at checkout. 500 cards for under $10. Trust me, there is nothing greater than whipping out a beautiful Vistaprint card to make a first impression with a client. You can choose from Vistaprint's great templates, or you can add your own logo or artwork. It's easy to customize in every way and make a card that's all about you. We've all used Vistaprint. We all love it, and we love their business cards. You can upgrade to their signature stock, add a fancy finish, go double-sided, or even raise print. Vistaprint does it all. They even do banners, apparel, flyers, postcards, invitations, anything you need for a home or a business. Vistaprint has the best customer service. If there's anything that you have a problem with, they will make it right. Remember to use the code TMOS at Vistaprint.com and you'll get 500 business cards for $9.99. That's a 50% savings. Great quality, easy to customize, and your satisfaction guaranteed. If you're not happy, they'll make it right for you. Don't wait. Go to Vistaprint.com and order today. Before we get to the audio vault with Rob Spiewak, I want to mention that Judah Friedlander is joining us. Judah comes to the DC Improv Tuesday, November 3rd. For the book tour event at 8 p.m. And later in the month on the 30th of November. Am I remembering that correctly?
Correct.
Correct.
You will be at Politics and Prose, also right here in D.C. And the book is If the Raindrops United. Go to D.C. Improv for tickets for the Tuesday night show. That should be a lot of fun. And, you know, guys, really, you can get some workout tips. You can talk with Judah. You can
sure.
get an autograph. You know, you just, you know, really, I've said to people for years, Judah, when are you going to stop giving? That's the question I have. When are you going to stop giving?
I don't know how to answer that question. That's a great question. I don't know
very much.
Thank you. I don't know.
You're not expected to. You know, when we're in the presence of greatness, you don't have to answer any question you don't want to, Judah. That's the way that works. Besides, it's time to open up Rob Spiewak's audio vault right now and get right to it, Rob. Take it away.
Mike, as you said in the news, the Royals won the World Series, but they weren't the real winners. The real winners were all the viewers that got to listen to Tony Bennett sing America the Beautiful.
Oh, my God. Look, I love Tony Bennett. I truly do. I love Tony Bennett. You know, but this was painful, extremely painful.
He is a, you know, he's a Mets fan. He's been sort of associated with the team for a long time, and he actually brought out members of the Frank Sinatra School of Performing or some musical academy that he established to back him up. And for a second, we almost thought it was going to be okay.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesty.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Mike, I
I thought Kansas
was flat.
It's the people around him, and you know, I love him. He's an icon.
He really is.
And just please, someone tap him on the shoulder, and tell him, you know, tell him it's time. Tony Bennett can't do it anymore.
I think it might have been the fact that he was in that setting. Lady Gaga album was quite good last year.
You're right about that. But you know, at that age, Rob,
I know
the fall can happen quite quickly.
Mike, let's hear the finish.
From sea to shining sea.
And what you just heard was the sound of his face splitting open, revealing lizard skin.
Jesus Christ. Oh man, I love people. They're treasures. They are national treasures.
They are.
When you see that, it hurts me. It hurts me deeply.
This is one of my favorite clips I heard over the weekend. An Austin television station was covering the flooding in Austin, and they got a call from a guy who said, "I was involved in a flood. As a matter of fact, I just called for help. But if you want, I can do some on-the-spot reporting for you." Listen to how this plays out. This is in Austin, Texas.
Kerry Packer was involved in that flood we had earlier with the car being filled with water. Kerry's on the phone. First of all, how are you and your husband? Second of all, what happened there?
Oh, it's actually just me. My wife is Sicilian. She's at home. But I'm basically, I was just driving down the road, and there was a little bit, what I thought was a little bit of water, and I just was driving through it like I would, and it swept my car sideways and then almost hit me over, and thankfully it didn't. It probably swept me about half a mile into the woods. The car was almost filled with water. I swept past a tree, and I jumped out of the window and climbed up a tree. So I'm about 20 feet up a tree right now.
Kerry,
wait, you're still in the tree?
I'm about 20 feet up a tree.
What?
Gosh, I have never in my life imagined. Hopefully they'll get some help to that man.
That mannequin next to the guy was right onto the next question, and the guy says, "Wait a second, you're in a tree?" She was gonna say,
"Well,
your wife
What is your mood? What is your mood right now?
Huh? What kind of tree?
What are you feeling?"
I think Leah Remini has played her final "Look at Me" card, Mike, when she did 2020 this weekend, and she's coming out against Scientology.
Now you see, you say something mean to our old friend Leah Remini, and I'd like to book her on the show to talk about Scientology. So when you say something like that, she's going to get very,
upset. Well, you know what, Mike? I might have misstated it. What I meant to say is our favorite sitcom actress, and she practically reinvented the reality show.
Everything I've read about Scientology, we should check with our guest. Judah, you're not a Scientologist, are you?
No.
Okay, just check it.
But if you were, you'd be the greatest one.
No. That stuff
have you
just
ever
seems... I've known people... I mean, you know, in Hollywood, in New York, it's they're just a touch, but in Hollywood, their presence is pretty huge.
Really?
Yeah, it's really creepy.
Have you ever been, and the serious question, have you ever been approached by anybody that has said, you know, if you get involved in this, it helps the old career trajectory? Have you ever been involved in any discussion like that? Because there are a lot of people out there in L.A.
No, but you would see in L.A., you would see like flyers on billboards or ads in magazines for like, you know, acting workshop seminar. And at the bottom, like in small print, you'd sometimes see Church of Scientology.
Very scary.
Or that, you know, like if some casting directors, you know, might have been Scientologists. And then LA also has people who are, you know, second and third generation Scientologists. You know, I think Juliette Lewis.
Yep.
Jason Lee.
I didn't know that about Jason.
So many people. I think they're second generation Scientologists.
Well,
it's weird.
Regardless, Beck, they're people that dig it. They're people that dig it. And then Leah, you know, comes out, and you know, we've known her, and she's outspoken, and she's
she's technically a second generation. Her mom got her into it, so she's.
But I also believe, you know, what she talks about with the, you know, with them targeting her. I think it does. They do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's obviously that goes on. So I'm curious what she said, because I didn't see the 2020.
It was
interview.
A fascinating interview. And one thing they kept coming back to is you can't badmouth Tom Cruise. at all, like even lightheartedly. Check this out. Apparently, he was, I think this is when he was married. Who was the Cruz he was married to?
Katie Holmes? No, Penelope Cruz.
I think it was, he was either
dating?
Nicole Kidman?
He might have been going after Katie Holmes too enthusiastically, okay. Like kissing in public.
Okay.
And she said, get a room.
He was like forcibly kissing Katie. You know, I said, hey, get a friggin' room. And, well, I was written up for that. If you say something that is written critical up to the church, you will be written up. Husband, wife, mother, daughter. It's what the group does to regulate itself. What the hell is this guy doing? We need to rein it in. We need to stop all this. And he just needs to be an actor. Like, he needs to, okay? I was immediately dealt with. The only reason you're saying these things is because you have your own transgressions. So you then become guilty. Being critical of Tom Cruise is being critical of Scientology itself. You are a person who is anti the aims and goals of Scientology. You are evil.
So he's like the Santa Claus of Scientology, mm-hmm. and you're not allowed to talk bad about him or you get written up.
I would, you know what? She probably will never come on this show.
I'll reach out to her. You know, I will.
The fact is, because it did not end well with her. And of course, when we had our relationship, she was in the middle of all that. She was in the middle of Scientology. And Jenna Elfman, she was an actress also, I think.
I believe so. I think you're right.
I think they were kind of pals at the time.
I think you're right.
So I'd just love to hear more about it. I really, really would. And I think that, you know, maybe this is a time when she needs all the friends she can get because they are kind of targeting her.
Have you seen the documentary that HBO shows about the about Scientology?
I have not seen it.
Looks like something The Onion produced. Yeah. Some of their beliefs are just that nutty. It's hard to wrap your head around.
Out there.
Let us close with this. Meatloaf is getting a lot of grief online and in social media because he performed this weekend at the Arizona State Fair, and they're describing his vocals as weak. And he says, well, if you think a 60-year-old can perform like a 20-year-old, you've got another thing coming. But here's Meatloaf at the Arizona State Fair. You know I'm a glass half full guy, and I will say this.
Right.
He got through the entire performance without collapsing.
Let me sleep on it.
Meatloaf.
Baby, baby, let me sleep on it.
Hold on. I'm getting it in my earpiece. He's going to be okay. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
That's it. We got to get out of here. Hey, Judah, thanks so much for stopping by.
Hey, thank you, guys. Great.
Always a pleasure.
I had a lot of fun. Thank you so much, man. Awesome.
Judah's book is If the Raindrops United. You can see Judah tonight at the DC Improv. He will be there tomorrow night, rather, Tuesday, November 3rd, for the book tour event at 8 p.m. And also coming back to Politics and Prose on November 30th, right here in Washington, D.C. Always a pleasure. Keep doing what you do. You're one of the funniest people we know, and we really appreciate you stopping by the show, Judah.
Thank you. You're a true winner and a great American. And you guys have an insight and taste that is unmatched.
Yes. Oh, man, my nipples are hard. If you want to send anything to the Mike O'Mara Show, it's TMOS Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. Boy, we're running a little late, aren't we, Rob Spiewak?
Yeah, we went a little long today. We can fix this.
For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying, join us again next time. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Hey, not so fast, Mr. Big Shot. I got to tell you that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So shop Amazon and use our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.